Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hey, welcome to the Horse Hour podcast. I'm Amy Stevenson. We're joined by Rebecca Howard today. Rebecca represents Team Canada in eventing. She came 10th overall at Rio in the 2016 Olympics, and she was the top female rider. So Rebecca's going to share with us her journey with her horses, and she's going to give us loads of advice. And on top of that, she's just a really, really nice person. This is Horse Hour. Great guest today. She came 10th at Rio and she is the top female rider in the whole of the world. Rebecca Howard, how are you?
I'm great. Thanks for having me.
Well, thanks so much for joining us on the Horse Hour podcast. So I'm super excited to be speaking to you because we met, gosh, quite a while ago now. It was probably about 12 months ago when you had first moved over to Lucinda Frederick's yard.
Yes. I've been there since March now, I guess. So coming up on a year anniversary.
Really exciting. And what was it like? Let's take everybody through the beginning of when you first moved over, because you've been with the Canadian Canadian High Performance Event Program for years and years. And originally you lived in America, didn't you? But then you came over to the UK. What made you move over here?
Yeah, I was, I grew up in the west coast of Canada, and then I was in the east coast of the United States for quite a few years, pushing on 10 years, really. And then I did compete at the London Games and used that as an excuse to make the move over the pond.
And stay here.
And really, yeah, exactly. It was really just to come and base in the mecca of the sport. I was just wanting to up my training and really delve into the top of the sport and be here where all the competitions and the riders hang out. So we stayed.
Yeah, it's really nice that, you know, you consider the UK to be top of the sport and the training. And I've noticed through doing these podcasts that more and more riders are basing themselves over here. Quite honestly, I don't know why, because it's miserable and it's cold. And when I look at Canada, I think, oh my goodness, it's such an amazing place to live. And you've got all this land and it's free. But more people are actually basing themselves over here.
Yeah, I think it's just accessibility to the majority of competitions. You know, yes, it is cold, but it's really us that minds the cold more than the horses. The horses do, and I would be one of those. I am pretty pathetic, to be honest. I do feel the cold for sure. It's not very fun. I do miss my Florida winters. the horses do well here. And yes, as you said, you've got so many nations that are now, based here. And, so you're competing against, certainly the top riders on a weekly basis. And then you've just got accessibility to all the great competitions here in England, as well as easy access to the continent and Ireland. Mm. And yeah, there's lots of great things happening in America, but you have to get on a plane to take part to really compete with the rest of the world. And that's just such an ordeal and an expense. And over here, competing alongside those guys is just an everyday thing. So yes, it certainly made sense to, if you wanted to be in the pool with all the top riders, that this is the place to be for sure.
Well, quite honestly, you're already there because, you know, you've only been here 10 months and you were straight over to the Olympics in Rio. What was that for you? What was that like for you?
Well, Rio was great. As I did, I was at London and it didn't go so well. And then just really the last 4 years have been quite a study, and lots of certainly some good successes in the last 4 years and some downs for sure. And we worked really hard for it to all come together at Rio, and for the most part it did, and that was really satisfying for sure.
So you mentioned London then. Was that the first time that you've competed at an Olympics?
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Would you say that was more of a, almost like a learning experience of taking it all in and the environment and the people and I guess the pressure too. And then you could take that experience and you almost know what to expect when you're then heading to Rio, don't you?
Yeah, for sure. And London was my first time competing overseas. It was all new. Well, I had done the Pan American Games, so that took me to Mexico, but London was the first time I had even put a horse on a plane and competed in that caliber. I did the World Games in 2010, and that was a good experience, but again, that was on home turf, so it's certainly a different kettle of fish altogether. And I think London really, yeah, I mean, there's just normal nerves, but really that's not what it was. It's just you don't know what you don't know until you're really in the mix. So it was just certainly a bit more naive, I think, and just needed more experience, and in the last 4 years certainly have gotten a lot of that. Lots of experience and some good education and some great experiences and yeah, positive training, and it did come together nicely at Rio.
It all paid off, didn't it? I had my stepson with me. We were watching, and to keep him quiet, because he loves horses, but he got a bit, he got a bit bored having it on for 10 days because we had it on the TV all the time. So I said that some of my friends were riding. So I said, Rebecca Howard's riding. So when it came to you going on and going across the cross country, he was, bless him, cheering for you. He loved it.
Oh,
he was so excited.
You.
So friends along with the whole of the Great British team. He also thinks we're friends with them. So every time
Excellent.
I say I'm going to an event, he says, are your friends going to be there? Yes. They don't actually know me, but they are all my friends.
Yeah, perfect.
It was really lovely to watch. Can you be really honest with us then? Because for us watching and watching you train and go up to that moment of actually competing, what's the hardest bit of it?
It's just, hardest bit is just having it all come together on the day, really. I knew that we were very capable of putting in a good performance at Rio, and we had certainly done it before, and I felt very prepared. And then it's just all having all the pieces come together on the day, all three phases, and I think that's really the balance. You're trying to prepare yourself and your horse so that you peak at the right time. And my horse has had quite a bit of experience, and we knew each other very well. But he's he's not a straightforward guy by any means. And so it's just about, planning your year and just making sure he's feeling the best he can, and you've got him primed right to pull the trigger when it's time.
We don't think about all that preparation. You know, we know there's preparation that goes into it in terms of learning how to jump and being able to pace yourself, but actually that being able to peak and the psychology behind it is things that we're not taught, when we just have our horses at home. And that I find so fascinating. Do you have sports psychology too?
I do. Well, I worked quite intensely with somebody this past year anyway. And And a little bit more in, I don't so much struggle with, you know, your classical sense of nerves, but just feeling like you're in the right headspace, I think, and just that you're clear mind and you're feeling confident and you trust and believe what you can do. And that's was really so much of it for me, was just to have that trust in what we had done in the past, and the trust in what I'd done in the past wasn't honestly going to be good enough, but I knew we had the ability to do better than that. So, just to be able to then tap into our skills that we had been working so hard on and executed on the day.
I like that, being able to trust yourself. That's really important. I don't trust myself at all. I have no idea what I'm doing, and I can never guarantee that I'd be able to control the horse in any situation. Yeah. But being able to trust yourself, being able to, I did a very small bit of psychology years ago because I suffer really badly with nerves and anxiety when I'm riding. And they said exactly that, was that you, in any situation, you'll be able to handle the horse because you'll stay on no matter what it throws at you. And he said, then trust yourself, trust your mind, and trust your skills and experience. So that's a really interesting thing to learn.
Yeah, well, I think it is. It's about a lot of being great as an athlete or competitor is being able to let go of so many feelings and emotions, really, and just tap into your knowledge and your feel with you and your horse. And then that's very much a you have to first of all trust and believe that you can do what you're setting out to do. So that's certainly a guy that helps me out a bit. That notion of trust overconfidence is a stronger sense, a stronger word.
So when you moved over then, how did you work out where you were going to stay? Did you know where you wanted to stay, or did you move the horses over first and then say, someone take me in?
No, it was that, actually. It was option B. I knew, I made the decision in the spring of 2012 that I was going to, hopefully things were going to fall into place, and I was going to go to London Games, and that I was going to stay there. And that's really as far as I got. So I did. I packed up everything that would fit. And then we were over here for a good month before the Games, and we stayed at Maisie Manor there with Jackie Green and Catherine Burrell. So after the Games, I went back to Catherine's place at Maisie Manor, and I stayed with Jackie Green there, and then she introduced me to Tim and Janelle Price, and I quite quickly moved over there and started riding and working for riding for them, and then ended up sort of basing out of there for the last 3 years until I moved over to my now renting the other side of Lucinda Frederick's yard. So
do they help you? Do you all work together? So do they help you with technique, or who are your instructors? Who helps you?
Well, when I was at Tim and Janelle's, certainly yes, they were very much, very much helpful. So we were certainly in the arenas riding together every day, and they were very much help with my horse, Riddle Master, and yeah, if I needed help with some of the, as the years went on, I started collecting more horses, which is ultimately why I moved on, just grew out of space there and time to ride theirs, basically. So, they've been a huge influence, helpful in the tack, and also helpful with just advice and learning the ropes of maneuvering here in this country and, what competitions to go to, and all sorts. So they've been huge help.
Yeah, it's nice to have a bit of support. Absolutely. You know, you're moving over from another country. I doubt you have friends and family with you. You've got all these horses, and you're pretty much on your own. So it must be lovely to have a group of people surrounding you who know the industry, who know the country, and who know how things work.
Yeah, absolutely. No, they were very much all of what you just said, helpful in getting stuck into this country, as well as they've become very dear friends. So good people. And I was lucky to have landed there.
So I've seen you ride. I've seen you with your horses, with the way that you handle them. And I love your gentle approach that you have with them. Everything's very quiet. Everything's very soft. It's quite amazing to watch. Is that a technique that, or is that a way of handling horses that you've always had, that you learned at a young age, or is that something that you've picked up along the way?
I think that's always been my instinct, is to be certainly quiet with them and be an observer first and then react second, certainly try to implement that theory anyway. And then same thing goes to when you're on the tack, sort of feel what's happening first and react second. The horses always, if you can have them definitely working with you and happy in the way that they're going, they're going to perform the best. And and certainly it's my nature.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win. And support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. The future isn't scary. Not realizing its potential, however, could be. Just like on the recruiting trail, I've seen potential come in many forms as a coach. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Just I'm a more quieter sort and an onlooker. So it's the way I apply. I apply to most things that I do.
When you were little, did you always love horses?
Yeah, definitely. My mom rode. And I was the eldest, or I am the eldest of three sisters. So we were exposed to the horses quite early on, and I was certainly very keen from the get go. Yeah.
And what about your sisters? Did they ride? Did they end up having careers in it?
Yeah, they not careers, but we all rode. They all rode and competed through till high school, and then moved on to do other things. So they're much more sensible than I.
Oh, I don't know. You've kept going. You've got, obviously got.
Yeah,
I'm determined to keep going. This will be successful.
Exactly.
Have they been able to visit you since you've been here?
They haven't yet. No, I'm on their case. They're they're busy raising young families right now. So yes, haven't been able to travel yet, but hopefully at some point the sisters will make it over. The parents have made some great visits, and so that's lovely.
Oh, that's nice. So how many horses have you got now then?
I think there's 14 or 15 in the yard now. So yeah, the numbers are growing.
Wow. Are they all yours, or are they some of
no,
them?
No, gosh, no. Hmm. No, only one of they're not even one. Three quarters of those are mine. So, and that includes some working people's horses and some owner's horses. So, but it's, it's a good group, and it's slowly growing. It's a big part. You know, it's a hard thing to, certainly when I came over here, it was just Riddle Master that got on the plane with me for America. So I was just I went from having quite a big operation in America to being a one pony show over here and working for other people, and now slowly building up own base of or a new base of horses and owners. And so yeah, it's a slow process, but it feels like it's getting a bit of momentum, which is exciting.
Yeah, well, 14 horses is incredible. So the one horse that you came over with, you own him?
Well, I own a third of him.
Okay.
He's still owned by his breeders, actually. So it's a cool story. They bred him and still are very much, yeah, obviously his biggest fans.
So would that be your forever horse, for example, you know, at the end of his career? Would he stay with you, or would he go back to the breeders to retire?
I think that he's everybody's dream would be that he maybe has a couple more years at the top level and then would then live out his days at his farm where he was bred. It's a beautiful, beautiful place in Orangeville, Ontario, and then Canada there. And so it would be, yeah, I think it'd be lovely for him if he returned back to those roots.
Yeah,
so,
because you've gone so far together, and we very much only have one or two horses, if we're lucky, you know, we don't get to have that many. And we're extremely lucky if we have a bond with them where we keep them forever.
Yeah.
So you're working with a lot of horses day in, day out. Do you have your own unique kind of relationship and bond with each one?
I mean, they're all different, aren't they? And you get to, depending on what their what your relationship is with them and how long you are with them, I think, well, depends on what the bond becomes. You know, some are just coming in certainly to produce and sell for a bit, and it's so you don't have that same bond with them because your time with them is shorter. But I just think with each one that comes in the yard, it's pretty fun and interesting to get to know them as a person. So, and yeah, try to do right by them for even the short period of time you have them, if they are on the short plan. Or, they're also different. So certainly, like people, I think I get on with some better than others.
Yeah.
But it's definitely worth trying to get to understand them all. Yeah.
But how lovely for the owners, though, to be able to give you their horse and to have you produce them and take them up to higher levels, because experienced riders and professionals like you are almost unattainable. I would absolutely love, if I had an eventing horse, I'd love to send him to you. I don't have one. I might get one just to be able to do that. But I'd love to send him to you and say, there you go, Rebecca, do what you can, have fun, like enjoy him and see how far you guys can go together. But there's this thought or this myth that it's totally unaffordable and you have to be mega, mega rich to be able to do that. But that's not the case, is it?
No, it's not. I mean, there's no if, ands, buts about it. It is an expensive sport, for sure. Horses are not cheap, but there's ways to do it, definitely, that are more affordable. Certainly putting a group of people together, or, you know, the budgets can be certainly tailored. But yeah, that's so much of what is really fun about this job is definitely working with the horses and competing them, but it does become quite a whole team effort. You know, the excitement that the owners and the pleasure that the owners get out of watching their horses go, and when you can produce a result for them, and it's a really satisfying and exciting journey for all involved. So it's, yes, you're working with the horses, but you're very much having the people interaction and feeling the excitement that they get out of being a very crucial part of the team as an owner.
Oh, I'd love it. I'm a bit emotional though, so I'd just get, oh, I'm so proud of my boy, you know, he's done so well.
Yeah.
And because I know that I'm not experienced to be able to ride to that level. So sometimes you get a horse that, quite often we're overhorsed, actually. We get a horse that's really, really good and has a lot of potential, but we don't have the experience to be able to do the best with him. So that would be great to be able to send him to you. And do you give lessons too?
Yeah, for sure. And that's I'm starting to do more and more teaching. I taught a lot when I was in America. That was certainly even more of my time was spent teaching than it was competing and riding, or at least it was 50-50. And then moving over here, that was a big motivation, as I just wanted to continue upping my game as a competitor. So just wanted to optimize all my time in the tech, and really have been doing that the last 4 years, and now branching out as well and trying to develop some more students and do some clinics and that sort of thing.
That would be good. To have clinics. Where are you thinking of holding those?
Well, I've done a few at Tweezledown throughout this winter. I have a few coming up in January and February. And then just some, you know, teaching out of Lucinda's yard, and then travel to a few people's private yards as well. Yeah.
Oh, good. Well, we might need to organise a clinic then. Maybe we could have a horse hour clinic. I just need to find somewhere to put it.
Yeah.
We can invite all the Horse Hour listeners, and we could have. It would end up being a bit of a Pim's drinking session, though, I fear.
Yes, it could be all right. That works too.
So you just said through the winter you do your clinics, then you're doing lessons, and then at what point do you kind of get back on the horse, as they say, and start going out competing again?
Well, though, certainly it's full days work again at the yard, that all the horses are back in work, and then the competitions will start off beginning of March.
Oh, have you booked your first one yet? Do you know which one you're going to?
No, just I've started laying out the schedules, though, so there's a couple that are going to start, that's what I think, second week of March. And then, all gets going.
Are you aiming for badminton, for Blenheim?
I am, yeah, mm-hmm. Badminton. Yeah.
And which horse do you think you'd like to take there, ideally?
Yeah, the Riddlemaster would be aiming for badminton this year.
Any of your youngsters that are coming through that you're producing?
There's a couple that hopefully we might make a trip to Tats with, a couple in the one-star, a couple in the two-star. And then see what those ones end up doing. They're still, I've got a bit of a gap between Riddlemaster and the next bunch. So hopefully there'll be a few that get their two-star miles in next year. And then the following year, hopefully I've got a few more back up at three-star.
Oh, wow. Does it get difficult sometimes when you're at home? And are there any times when you'll be competing against Lucinda? Because that would be quite awkward, wouldn't it? If you're training together, you'd be like looking at each other over the fence going, oh, what's she doing?
No, it's not awkward at all, actually. It's the same as we're at Tim and Janelle's. I mean, healthy competition is always good. It's what pushes you certainly to keep upping your own game, and so that's what's really nice about riding and alongside other great professionals on a daily basis. And then at the competitions, everybody's doing their on their own individual horses, and you wish them well. For sure.
But it is a really lovely part of the industry is that how supportive everybody is. And Lucinda's an extremely supportive and lovely, lovely lady. So she'd only want to help and wish you well. But even as you go as you get to badminton, as you go to Blenheim, and you're in these huge environments with people from all over the world out the back where they're all having a chat afterwards, and they're probably a little bit stressed after their run or before their run, there's so much kindness out there for everybody. That's what's so lovely. And they're all watching, because they always have a big screen, and they're all watching each other's run, as well as, I guess, you're learning from what somebody else's run has gone like, and you're picking up tips, but they genuinely want everybody to get around safely, which is nice.
I think that's a big part of it. There's a lot of camaraderie in the warm-up arenas, and people certainly giving advice to one another and chatting about how the courses are riding. And so, I mean, don't get me wrong, it's the most competitive group of people you'll ever meet as well, but it's the amount of support you receive from fellow competitors is, I think, pretty unique to our sport as well.
So how are you going to be preparing for this year then? Are there any particular things that you're doing at home, or like, I don't know, poles or pacing or any tips you can give us?
Well, this time of year is very much just knocking off rust in some aspects, but lots of it's just good solid training. It's a good time to, because we aren't on the road out competing now, so it's really valuable time for the younger, greener horses. So it's pretty intense education time fine this time of year, and then just trying to keep improving along the more experienced horses. Lots of pole work at home. just getting, they're all just getting fit enough now, really. They'll start going out and doing some more jumping days and some dressage lessons and, yeah, get properly going again.
Mm-hmm. Oh, well, I wish you the best of luck for this season. I think it's going to be really exciting to see you, and I think we're really lucky to be able to go to competitions in the UK and actually watch you. And I can't wait to watch you from the beginning of the season to then the end of the season, because I feel everybody improves throughout that time. As a natural, you know, it's a natural progression, yeah, isn't it? Because you've all had, yeah, everyone's had, the horses have had the winter off.
Yeah.
But we can also pick up loads of tips by going and watching you in the warm-up arena, and I love it.
For sure. Well, good. Well, we hope to see you out there. Absolutely.
So how can we follow you? Are you on Twitter?
Our Howard Equest.
Our Howard Equest. Okay. So that's your Twitter handle. You're on Facebook. You're on Instagram.
Yes.
So we can, yes, follow your journey. Thanks so much for joining us, Rebecca. See you.
Thank you. My pleasure.
Thanks so much for listening. I hope you enjoyed this week's episode. So next week, you can hear infectious diseases. We're talking about strangles with B&W Equine Vets. Chris joins us, and he's going to explain everything about those awful diseases that we hear about, but we don't know enough about. I quite often hear about strangles, and, you know, local yards are saying that there's government policies that you have to adhere to if you ever think that you've got strangles, or you ever think that one of your horses might. And also, if you hear of a horse, you're not allowed to go anywhere near it if it's got an infectious disease. But what exactly are these diseases? How dangerous are they? How can we avoid them? And how do we treat them? So Chris is going to explain all about those. We've also got loads of information on our website. If you head to horsehour.co.uk, there's some great videos on there from the British Equestrian Trade Association. I caught up with Sophie Wells, an amazing Paralympian. I went to the champion hat stand, and we've got some advice from Grenville on hat fitting and how you need to make sure that your hat is actually fitted correctly, because otherwise it could cause you more damage. And also, when do you need to change your hats? So that's all on our website, horsehour.co.uk. Don't forget to tag us, as always, in your photos and videos. I'm at Amy Stevenson 1, Horse Hour's at Horse Hour, and I hope you have a really good week, and I'll speak to you soon.
You've been listening to Horse Hour. Join the community on Twitter, Mondays, 8 p.m. UK time, 3 p.m. Eastern, by using the hashtag HorseHour. Follow Amy at AmyStevenson1 and subscribe to us on Acast, iTunes, Stitcher and Player FM.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.